Hello, my friend. It's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California.
For the daytime version of ResurrectMinistry.com, the Living Fearless Devotional. Yeah, you just said the Yorba Linda. You didn't say Living Fearless Devotional.
Oh.
I did, though.
For Living Fearless Devotional.
Maybe we should make a cute little intro, an intro to the intro.
Yeah.
So I don't have to repeat these sentences and botch them. Anyways.
Maybe like Mush for Brains, we need to have it all written down for us so we can. And I'll put your little picture so I know that you are my guest.
It's the senior citizens version. It's ResurrectMinistry.com, harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel throughout the world. Check out our content. We have Bible resources, pastors you can listen to, worship bands, past articles, past podcast episodes, and my favorite part, the comment section. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think of the podcast. If you have a question, a prayer request, or would like to pray for us, all of the above are welcome. And if you'd like to partner with us, click the Donate Now button. It's quite a blessing for us. And most importantly, like and share and subscribe to whatever channel or medium that you're watching this on. And share it with your friends. Help us out with the algorithm. It takes 2 seconds. And we don't have a lot of subscribers on YouTube. So if you don't mind going to YouTube and clicking the button to subscribe, we would really appreciate it. And we had just discovered yesterday, we are not allowed to monetize on YouTube because we are harmful to the general public.
That's what it said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dangerous and harmful.
Dangerous. Armed and dangerous.
That would be you. I'm kind and generous.
You are
a danger, apparently, to the world.
Yes.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that funny? That's how a Christian podcast is defined.
Hello, Carrie. And so, like Carrie just did, comment. You don't have to put little pink hands or a black heart. And maybe another color on her end. I've noticed that sometimes they...
Yeah, Carrie, are you purposely sending us black hearts? Because I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Clap over the bullseye.
Or the target.
Oh.
But yeah, comment. Let us know where you're watching from. We had a gentleman join us from, not New Guinea.
Kenya.
New Guinea is where Biden's uncle crashed and got eaten by cannibals.
I was like, Muzzies don't eat people. So that definitely wasn't the Muslims. No. That definitely didn't happen in Africa.
Hey, Kelly. And yeah, just say hi. But also comment on what it is that we are talking about. That would be great. Or what A.W. Tozier has to say in his devotional. If you have anything that God has given you through that reading, that would be awesome if you could just put what those things might be. Also go to our sponsor down in the description. You'll see one for LifeWise. Use the URL livelifewise.tv, livelifewise.tv, and they will know that it's coming from us. That way, if you order anything, we'll get the credit for it. That would be great. Iris just ordered again. She's an ordering awesomeness.
Oh, how nice.
I was going to say ordering fool, but I didn't want to call her a fool.
What?
I don't know. Certain things start to come out of my mouth and that I have to reel them in. I'm very active. And this has nothing to do with Iris.
No.
But, you know, you say, wow, you are a jigsaw
actually,
puzzle
my friend
fool.
Was telling me how he jokes around with girls that he's dating, you know, my trainer. And he said, yeah, I tell her like, oh, don't worry. I can pay for your broke ass. And I was like,
perfect.
Oh my God. How could you say that to somebody that you like and that you're dating? He's like, well, like just joking around. I was like, oh, Andy used to do like even a much more mild version of that. And I was like, oh, that has to stop. That really has to stop.
Or he say, okay, you might want to order on the left side of the menu because that, on the right side, you know, you don't need that. You don't need a full meal. Just take the little a la carte.
You want a kid's
meal. Stay on the a la carte side of the menu.
But you can get stuffed potato wedges on the a la carte side.
Right. Also, check out StreamYard if you're planning on sharing something that you want to share with others, like a book maybe you might be promoting, or a needlepoint, or another devotional. Use StreamYard.
To get on StreamYard and read her book.
Yeah. Oh, that's what she should be doing. Good job, Snugs. And lastly, make sure and prepare in your Bibles. We're going to be reading from James 1, 2 through 8. James 1, 2 through 8, as it is referred to a little bit of it in our devotional that we are going to be reading in just 1 second. as soon as I can click on the right thing. There we go. We're reading from A.W. Tozier for The Christian Leader for April 19th, and it is entitled Armed with Courage. But let him ask faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. James 1:6.
Are we sideways?
That's New King James. What?
Camera looks kind of crooked.
No, it's just turned.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really hard. Anyway, back to what A.W. was saying. A.W. says, when entering the prayer chamber, we must come filled with faith and armed with courage. Nowhere else in the whole field of religious thought and activity is courage so necessary as in prayer. The successful prayer must be one without condition. We must believe that God is love, and that being love, he cannot harm us, but must ever do us good. Then we must throw ourselves before him and pray with boldness for whatever we know our good and his glory require. And the cost is no object. Whatever he in his love and wisdom would assess against us, we will accept with delight because it pleased him. Prayers like that cannot go unanswered. The character and reputation of God guarantee their fulfillment. We should always keep in mind the infinite loving kindness of God. No one need fear to put his life in his hands. His yoke is easy. His burden is light.
Oh, increase my faith and increase my courage, Lord. Amen.
I really get what this is saying.
I do too.
And mine's going to be really short. I know you might find that shocking. But I think it has to do a little bit with what we were talking about yesterday in some ways. And I know we talked a lot about a lot of different things. But in prayer, and this may go in line with what you're going to say, as we're praying, we're going to be asking for his guidance. We're going to be asking for his mercy. We're going to be asking for, you know, answer, you know, the question I have about which job to take or what person to marry and all these kinds of things. And then he's quite obviously going to give us an answer. And we have to be, and that's why now I understand what he meant by courage. Mm. We have to have the courage to pray for those things, because we may be thinking, you know, well, hopefully with this prayer, he's going to make that person get out of my life because she's actually just pretty miserable, right? But in fact, he says it's something else. So we have to have the courage
to hear the response.
To hear the response. And so to ask, you know, for his total, you know, guidance, his complete guidance. We shouldn't be praying to God hoping that he's going to tell us what we want.
Right.
We have to understand that we're praying to God because we want what he wants. And right. That takes courage.
Whatever he in his love and wisdom would assess against us or charge us with, we will accept with delight because it pleased him to do so. Mm. That's what you're talking about, is that surrender that we go boldly to ask and expect. But most importantly, we have to have the courage to surrender in the ask. Mm. Right? Yep. Is that that whatever is aligned with God's will, he will give us. So if we do not get it, it's not aligned with his will. And we have to have the courage to accept that.
And I think it also goes along with the idea that, you know, kind of along my parent analogy, is that when we tell the kids to do something, we expect them to do it. You know, if it's a, you know, something where we are making it a clear rule, like, this is what I need you to do, and then they don't do it. God expects us to follow his direction. If he says do X, Y, and Z, we better do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Or else he will not find that we are, you know, following his godly guidance.
Yes.
For sure. And then we might, you know, lose favor.
Right.
Yeah. No, oh, it's red on her end. So yeah, so on Carrie's end, that heart is red on her end. Yeah, I thought it was strange that this heart was black.
Yeah, that's so much more comforting to know that it's red on your end.
I've been meaning to ask her that for the last, I don't know, year. since she's been posting hearts.
That is so fun. And we have a new person. Swole Noggin. Like swollen brain.
Is that your trainer? Because he's getting, because he's swole?
No.
You sure?
No. Jason wouldn't do that. That's
Swole Noggin.
Yeah.
Howdy, Swole Noggin.
Yeah. Where are you from? And how'd you find us?
Do you go to the gym? Because I don't think you could have that in your name if you don't go to the gym.
But that seems to me symbolizes something, and based on the icon, something of the brain.
Yeah, whatever. We only have two smart people in this on this show, and one of them is not me.
Not true.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Swole Noggin. Says Carrie News. Did you ever think in your entire lifetime you would say hi to somebody whose name is Swole Noggin? Let's read the scripture. What do you say?
It's awesome.
All right, let's hear it.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you will be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And testing of your faith produces perseverance. Is that not the truth? Produces patience. And if you allow the patience to cauterize you and shape you, you will be a different person.
Mm.
On the other side.
What's funny is that this has been my life verse since I first started attending Christian churches.
Yes.
It was one of the first things I heard and go, oh my gosh, that's speaking to me. Because at the time I was going through so many trials and challenges, and I was hoping that at some point, if I just believe this, that I would get through those trials. And although it took maybe 20 years, 25 years, I stuck with it. I stuck with this verse. Yes. And I never gave up that it would lead to
And I think you matured from it.
Absolutely.
Right.
It was, unfortunately, it was these little incremental progressive steps.
Sometimes regressive.
On occasion, maybe I did regress. Why do you have to remind me?
No, we all.
I was perfectly fine moving forward. Not everybody need to know that I took a few steps back on occasion.
Don't we all?
But I love it. I still love it to this day. I love it more than even on the first day I heard it. The first day I heard it, I go, wow, this is really important for me to understand this. Of course, I think it's easier once you've reached a point where you can say that perseverance has paid off and that faith has produced fruit.
Yes.
That it's much easier to be able to say, yes, I love this verse even more. But sometimes it was hard.
Oh,
I doubt it was hard.
Many times is it hard. The pruner, when he prunes,
yes,
it hurts. He loves those that he disciplines.
And Carrie agrees that she did not think she was ever going to use the name Swole Noggin. Swole Noggin is not talking to us now.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more. Oh, no, I thought that was going to be him. Carrie says,
sanctification is a slow roll for some of us.
Yes, why?
Isn't that the truth?
I really despise those people who just seem to like, I was born Christian and I've always been Christian and right? Everything's always wonderful. Did you lie?
No, I actually think there are some people like that. Like Ivan that comes to our house that works for the Bible college.
Yes.
I feel like he was good his whole life.
Really?
Don't you? No. I don't know. There's some people you meet and you're just like, you are a good person.
I don't like that.
You're not a reformed, transformed, in the process person like me. You are truly a good person.
Yeah. It's like Todd Frazier. Same thing. Can't stand that guy.
Yeah, he's like that too.
Yeah. So would you just like cuss? Yell at somebody? Secretly, he says a few things on there. But not. Yeah. I shouldn't say that because I was going to say, hey.
Why'd you call him out like
that? Yeah, he'll never let loose again, ever.
Right. Hi, Iris.
He just makes faces. He's just like, goes, that person, not so much. Hey, Iris, I was not talking about you. I can tell you what I would say.
My granddaughter was born again, practically.
Oh, was born again.
Oh. Why am I so slow on the uptake sometimes?
You know what's so funny? When I read the devotional, you can catch me missing something so quickly. But with things like this, you're like me with scripture.
Yeah. I'm not good at people talk.
Yes. I mean, really, I mean, it would have saved me so much heartache. It would have saved me so much.
But she wouldn't have a testimony.
Okay. So
God uses that testimony.
Did I really need that testimony?
I think so.
Oh, all right. All right.
What else we got today?
Oh, so I wanted to talk about this, my reading today of the Bible.
Okay.
And it brought me to this parable. The parable is, I lost it. Where'd it go? The parable of the, come on.
It'll be at the top.
No, it's in the middle. Oh, there it is. The parable of the stewards. It's this guy who's leaving behind his servants go be designated king. Not king of a whole nation, but king of an area. And he says, well, I'm gone. I'm going to give you 3 months' wages. And he gives it between the servants, their three months' wages, and tells them to do something with it. Don't just, here it is. I don't want you just to take it and not, I want you to do something with it.
That's the parable of the talents?
No.
It's different.
Okay. It's different.
Okay.
And in the end, what the enduring word says that I did not even, when I read it 3 times, crazy enough, because I just like, what is this trying to say? So I wanted it just to come to me, but it wasn't coming to me. But in doing so, when I read the enduring word, he clearly says that this is a, so let me read it here. It says, he was near Jerusalem. Jericho is not a great distance from Jerusalem. And as Jesus neared the city, the disciples and others expected Jesus to show himself as Messiah and the political savior of Israel. So what the enduring word is saying is this is as similar as to Jesus leaving his servants behind, but giving them the power to be disciples and to do something with it.
Yes.
That this parable is that. And I never thunk of that. So what happens? Two of the servants, one of them, it's 10, what do they call it? Something 10. Oh, not talons. I mean, that's what you gave me in my head. Now they call it something else.
Shekels?
Yeah, let's just go with money. So okay. He gives them, let's say, $10,000 essentially. So he gives them $10,000. One of the servants doubles it. Another one of the servants, 50%s it, brings back, it makes it into $5,000. And another one does kind of a similar thing where he just puts it in a handkerchief and doesn't do anything with it. Because he was afraid that when the head of the household came back, that he was going to punish anybody that lost the money.
Like the talents.
It's very similar. Yeah. But he then took that money.
She's curious, that is the talents.
It's not.
It is. It's the same parable.
It's not the same parable. No, because it even says that some people think that this is the same as the talent, but it's not.
Oh, okay. See, Carrie, we're both wrong.
But
Mr. Kuzek from the Enduring Word is wrong.
Yeah, so in the last one, it says the second servant brought another good report. He did business with his master and had 5 more to show for it, so a 500% increase. And then, again, the last one doesn't give anything. And so what he ends up doing is saying, you are worthless to me, servant. You did nothing with what I told you that you're supposed to do with
scripture?
It. It is Luke 8. Is it Luke 18? Hold on.
You went too far.
No, I'm going to the top where it is. Luke 19.
Luke 19.
Yep. And then it's all the way down.
19, 15 to 19.
Yes. But it's the parable of the stewards, not parable of the talents.
And does a Kuzic and Enduring Word specifically say there? Some people think it's a parable of the talents.
Yes.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yes. This parable is different than the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Here, the 10 servants were each given an equal amount of money worth 3 months' wages for a working man.
Yes. But I didn't know, I didn't think of it as being a reference to Jesus Christ. That he, but essentially what they're saying in an enduring word is that when Jesus gives you the power to be a disciple, or the directions to go out and make be fishermen of men, and you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Just don't take what God gives you and keep it to yourself. So I just never thought of it like that. And I've read it like can't tell you how many times, but it never came to me to being that. I can never understand it. It never made any sense to me.
The talents, you don't get that same thing, that you can't waste away what God gives you to use it. Oh, okay. I love that this is all new for you.
I know. I got so excited. I go, wow, how can I read something that many times and then also read the parable of the talents and not get it in this either? Like, it gives me in two different ways. And neither way did I look at it as a reference to Jesus Christ. I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I hear you.
Like it carries question mark.
because she's saying one's in Luke and one's in Matthew. Okay, so Carrie, there is apparently a bit of controversy about this, that that parables are, and even events and stories that are recounted in one gospel versus another, that some people say they are the same story and some scholars say they are not. Hmm. So this is one example where one commentator, the one that writes the Enduring Word, says that it is a different parable. I don't know what other commentators say, if they say it's the same parable, but that's clearly what, is his name Kuzic? Says, so,
yeah.
Who says in this one that it is a different opinion.
It's completely different.
I mean, there's a number of instances of that, because there's one about Lazarus where the Lord gives the story of Lazarus that was hearing the man Lazarus, the rich man that was hearing the guy in hell, or he was in hell and hearing the guy in heaven. Like they were able to communicate between the two, and the people were like, wait a minute, was that Lazarus that he raised from the dead? And like, no, that's a different Lazarus. Hmm. And so there's just, I think, a difference of opinion. Oh, wait a minute. Iris is reverting back to that conversation yesterday. She's saying it would be like former Chippendales dancers that are now Christians dancing at a Christian women's conference. No. Iris, are you thinking of that from yesterday's devotional? Or is that related to the parable of the talents? Carrie says, I see them as stitched together. Sure, that's a valid opinion too. Oh, Andy's Googling the parable of the talents teaches faithful stewardship as compared to the parable of the minas, M-I-N-A-S, the word that they use.
Mm. It's just not going to come up easy enough for me to,
yeah,
to quote anything. I'll have to dig deeper. You know, I love the look that you give me. That's my favorite part. Like, how do you not understand that?
Which one?
Either one. Like, that, did you not, like, you like me? It's just this look. It's like, it's a little tilt of the head and a little of the. Like, that's like when you read, she was born again. Some things just don't click. Like, but when you see them, it's like, wow, that is the greatest thing.
That is fantastic.
I had no idea. It just didn't come to me.
I fully agree. Iris is commenting on yesterday's devotional.
We're talking about today, Iris.
That was an interesting conversation yesterday. Still lingers.
Did I send you another video came out I saw on that whole thing? It's actually a pretty popular conversation that people are having.
About Driscoll?
Yeah, about Driscoll.
Everybody and their mother is having that conversation, in the Christian circles at least. Did they have a new take on it? Something different?
I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. It just popped up on something I was doing.
Your algorithm now.
Yeah, YouTube or something like that. But I don't know that I would change my mind. I know there's other people that have a different view than us.
Yeah.
That say that, no, the guy's an athlete. And, you know, how was the pastor supposed to know? No, but you need to know. You need to know. It's a lot like Friends, and this isn't that much different. Friends inviting a professor from Biola to come and speak and not realize he's going to say that the Old Testament is irrelevant, that we should only be focused on the New Testament.
I mean, you wouldn't know. Like, what if that was a giant conference with 5,000 people in attendance and he just literally dismisses half the Bible?
Yeah.
How would he know? How would people know that? So my argument for the Chippendales guy, the dancer, is that his website does not indicate he's a stripper. Hmm. Like, I mean, I believe in restoration and redemption. If he was no longer doing that, I don't care that he used to be a stripper.
Yep.
But the thing is apparently those two universes in his life are still crossing over. And as a consequence, that's why his act looked like he did. I believe if he was fully led by the Spirit, the routine wouldn't look that way. You know, I'm not saying he's not a believer, but I just think he's not, you know, he's in the midst of a sanctification process and that act has not been fixed yet. And right. So even if the staff realized that it was, didn't realize, meaning when they hired him, as soon as the poll went up, somebody should have been like, whoa, hey, what?
I reckon there had to be one man that recognized a poll.
For sure. But like, wait, what's about to happen with that? I need to know, you know, because he could have gone on without the poll. Because I was thinking, how would he have done his calisthenics? I am confident he's a tumbler. He could have just done them on the ground. Right. He didn't have to twirl around the pole.
Right. Or take his shirt off and start swallowing a sword. Like,
I don't know. They say the sword swallowing is really bad. Is that because it's like connected to New Agey stuff? Because I don't understand what the sword thing is.
I think it's sexual.
I am so naive. I didn't even think of that. I just thought of it as a trick.
We've equally had our moments on this particular devotional.
Oh, boy. Okay, I get it now. Okay, well then, shame on them. Shame on them for choosing that no matter what, then. Even if he wasn't a stripper, even if he kept his shirt on. Maybe they shouldn't have had him swallowing swords, period.
Right, but it's in the context of everything else. Like, if you wouldn't have, I mean, there are those daredevils who do some crazy stuff. They light it on fire and swallow it, yeah. But they're doing it in more of a, like the shocking, like it's trying to shock. It's when you have a pole and you take your shirt off and you talk about being gay, then you swallow a sword, then it's a different, you've taken it into a different spot.
All the variables added right. together. Okay.
Right. If he comes out like a pirate, you know, with missing an eye and doing all kinds of weird, stupid stuff that could cause him to lose his other eye, then that's kind of daredevil-y, manly kind of stuff. But the other one that I just mentioned, which I'm not going to do again, is over the line.
Carrie says, then why didn't the hosting pastor not speak up once they knew? That's the question.
Yeah, yeah.
And how could they think it would honor God? Iris said, that's another thing. Honestly, Iris, I think the problem in the church today is a lot of people do not think about, does this honor God? They think about, can I bring somebody to Jesus with this? Am I entertaining the audience? Am I going to increase participants and attendees next year because this is so exciting to them? Yep. The first question is not, does it honor God?
You do this all the time.
What? I do it all the time.
You make decisions based on what, you know, at a church. There's things like you wouldn't wear at church where you wear at the gym.
Right.
Right? Because that would not be honoring to God. You give it some thought. That's just the way you have to work. You can't just go in, well, it's church and they need to accept me how I am. And then you go in with a
flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, flip-flops are okay.
Oh. Okay, so what's not okay?
I was going to say like a mini skirt.
Oh, so bring it up to the women. What's not okay for men?
Short shorts, like dolphin shorts and a tank top. That would be not appropriate for men.
So we have one guy in our church. Yeah,
he's mentally handicapped. I mean, it's obvious.
He's so cute. He's running around in this baby tee and dolphin shorts.
Yeah, he's okay.
With a very
he's happy
stomach.
Man. He's happy. he doesn't realize that he's 50 years old. Yeah, that's different.
Carrie says some seeker friendly churches destroyed some family members' faith. I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible because they think that they're geared towards saving people, but I hear you. A lot of people end up leaving. And for all the things I say about that I'm grateful for my experience at Elevation, I did have a earth-shattering reason for which I left. That was truly upsetting. It was during the BLM riots, and words were exchanged between members of our Bible study group. And I thought it was totally gracious. I was just saying that, you know, I was just defending that President Trump had the right to hold up the Bible at the church. And I understand that it was offensive to some people, but I don't think he intended it that way. And then I got a call from the leadership telling me I needed to step down.
You were a racist.
That I was a racist. That was what was implied. So yeah. I was like, I didn't toe the lib mindset. And so I apparently triggered people by supporting Trump.
Like
triggered people on the call. So I was like, you need to step down as Bible study leader. And I was like, wow, okay. That's what happens. But you know, it's funny, I gave that example, but that's what happened to Driscoll, right? He went to a seeker friendly church, which was a friend of his. And as soon as he tried to speak truth or something that disagreed with that approach, he was shot down.
Yep.
You know, so that is an endemic problem with some of these churches.
It's got to be allowed, I think. That should have been allowed. Mark should have been able to continue.
Absolutely.
Because he was speaking from the Bible. He wasn't speaking something that was like from...
And as an expert.
He's
literally spent the past 3 months delving into this subject at great detail, wrote 2 books on it. Like this is his wheelhouse right now, especially. But
I think there's a little bit that when the pastor said, Mark, that's inappropriate or uncalled for. I'm not sure exactly what it, do you remember what his words were?
You are out of line.
Oh, out of line. I don't think he was saying out of line because he felt that he was degrading what the guy had did. I think he was saying you're out of line. Talking about this in my church, it was offensive to him.
It was offensive to him either way, I think, because he had hired him.
Well,
oh well, another day in the crazy world. Have any of you seen the documentary? I have not seen it yet. I just heard Tucker interviewing somebody about it. The documentary made by not Judge Reinhold. That famous Hollywood producer about Christian nationalism, basically lumping everybody from Franklin Graham down to what was that thing when South Carolina where the guy got killed, joined the right or right. I can't remember anything these days, but basically a lot of these white power movements that are atheists that are just claim Christian slogans all the way to, you know, conservative figures like Franklin Graham and then lumping everybody together and saying, look at the biggest threat to America is a Christian nationalist. Rob Reiner. Mm. Yeah.
Kook.
So there's all kinds of craziness happening in the church right now.
And so speaking of craziness, you see a guy set himself on fire outside the courthouse where Trump's trial is going on.
So there was a fire.
Yeah.
And it was a person.
It was a person.
Yikes. Why did he do that?
We don't know yet.
Oh, no.
I'm a little suspicious of Fox right now because a Fox reporter was right there who tried to assist the guy as he was in flames in some form or fashion.
Rescue him. Not throwing
at first. I thought it was trash, so he went forward like to put it out and then realized it was a man on fire. But what the guy had done, and he had a bunch of flyers that he threw up in the air. And so I think it was, what's her name? McCollum. What's that? I can't remember her first name.
Martha.
Martha McCollum, I think, was interviewing him or, you know, talking back and forth because he's a reporter for Fox, and said, well, what did the flyers say? And then he says, you know, by the time I got done with the man, it was too late for me to see what was on. But he had supposedly thrown up a bunch of flyers. And he's a good reporter.
So, I mean, what are you getting at?
How come he didn't ask somebody, like, what was on that flyer? There was a whole crowd there. You're telling me that not one person picked up one of the flyers and looked and see.
But is this right after that happened? Like, was the guy still in shock?
No, he didn't even seem like he was in shock. He's a good reporter.
He saw a man light himself on fire and die.
Yeah, but that's your job. I've seen guys light themselves on fire, and I would be talking to you like I'm talking to you right now. I saw a guy get hit by a train right in front of me.
I don't know if that's such a good thing, Bobby.
But it's your job.
I know, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't affect you.
Only thing that affected me was kids getting hurt. Yeah. That's the only thing. And anybody else does something stupid like that, you go, what an idiot. But my point is that here's this reporter who does a great job. I wish I could think of his name. But he was right there. He's on the border all the time.
So you're thinking he avoided saying it?
There's something in what he wrote that currently the medias don't want us to know. Kind of like the Nashville shooter, you know, transgender.
Posobiec.
Posobiec, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty
good. Look at Jack's Twitter and see.
But they had this whole letter, this whole agenda that this transgender person wrote about how he hated, yeah, the manifesto. And yet, no, we don't know what it said. Nobody knows what it says. And then Steven Crowder has to, you know, get a FOIA. And gets a hold of what it says. And it's exactly why we know exactly why they didn't want to write up, because it brought to the attention that the mental health issue when somebody is confused about their sex.
All, like, messed up language in there?
No, it's just about how she hated Christians and, you know, white people. It was all the stuff that, you know, the libs like to talk about. And they don't like to see one of their people shoot up a school.
I think I'm understanding this, a couple of spelling problems, but if they would just ask, does it honor God first, it would take care of everything. Mm. Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
And in the video Carrie watched, the men stood with Mark.
Yep.
Yes. And then they retracted. Carrie says, I am a remnant believer, so guess that makes Granny a terrorist. So that's the crazy part.
Yeah,
that's where we are right now.
We're all terrorists, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about our YouTube being we're not able to monetize, is that what we are talking about, we're talking about Jesus, apparently is dangerous, according to YouTube. And so that's why we can't monetize.
Yes, we violate the community standards.
How dare you?
That's just related to the...
Oh.
What she wrote.
Oops. All right.
I think we got it.
You know what you forgot again?
Yep. Prayer requests.
We've got prayer requests. Let's pray for... Let's pray for our country.
Let's pray for our country and for Israel.
Yep.
I think that's really important. And all this stuff about the legislation and Speaker Johnson. And there's all kinds of craziness happening.
And mental health.
And mental health. Everybody's mental health, right?
Yeah.
Dear Lord, you are on the throne. You are coming back for your church, and we are so excited. We want our loved ones to be with us in the rapture, Lord, and to spend an eternity in your presence, now in a mirror, but one day face to face. And we ask for saving faith for our loved ones, Lord, to make their burdens easier, to draw them close to you. And we pray for our country, Lord. We pray for Speaker Mike Johnson and all the difficulty he has facing him as he tries to do what's best for the country and supporting Israel, Lord. We ask that you give the Christians here in this country, especially, wisdom about how your land, your people, and that you will never break your promises to Israel. And despite their disobedience now, and quite frankly, since the beginning of time, you never break your promises, because that's the kind of God you are. So we ask that you bless them, that you open their eyes and their ears to hear you and to see you and to understand you and to come to saving faith in Christ. We ask for you to give faith, more and more and more faith, to the Iranian people, Lord, so that one day they are able to overtake the evil that's running the country now, Lord. Bring them to saving faith in Christ. May they continue to have miraculous experiences and encounters with you, Lord. Bless Carrie and Eddie as they go on their healing journey, Lord, and all of our other friends, brothers and sisters who are suffering from ailments, Lord. We ask you to give them a mighty healing and restoration. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, are we going to try to come on tomorrow? I think we probably have a clear schedule for tomorrow, I believe.
I'm going to my
mom's. Oh, you're going to your mom's. I have a clear schedule. No, Sunday we have our church.
Yeah. Okay.
Tomorrow we have church, or Sunday we have church in the morning, and then we have our home church.
Yeah.
So we will probably see you guys on Monday.
On Monday.
All right, my friends. If you're in the area of Yorba Linda.
Yes.
Anywhere close. Let us know.
We would love to see you.
If you don't know our address, get a hold of us.
And yeah, will. Iris has never been. Oh, Iris is far. Even though we met her at church in person. I don't think she lives in the area.
Come on, Iris. Hop in the car.
But if any of you are close, we would love to see you.
Take some of that LifeWise product and zoom on down. All right, my friends. We love you guys.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Bye. Bye.